We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Tuesday, April the 21st, Brevard County, Florida. What's going on? You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast with Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God. You ought to see the look I'm getting right now. I just wanted to do something a little bit different today, but I pray that you are having a great day, that God is leading you triumphantly like we talked about on yesterday's broadcast. I know this, that I've read the end of the book, and we are redeemed. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. We are victorious. He talks about us being overcomers and more than conquerors. If the devil has convinced you that you are defeated, you need to listen to a different person of influence. You need to listen to the Word of God. And so today we're going to be in Romans, the 15th chapter. Romans, the 15th chapter. We want to remind you about Advanced Christian Training Schools. They meet tonight in our fellowship hall, 633-0432. If you have any questions, tell Ted and Linda that you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. And again, this is a free video Bible school, and so you can avail yourself of it. You don't have to wait for a fall semester to begin or a spring semester. You can come in and jump in at any given point in time. And so we encourage you to check that out. We also want to invite you to our vintage worship service tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And then tomorrow night will be our boys and girls ministry at 6:30. So we've been talking about God leading us, and yesterday's broadcast was God leads us. He always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And so I pray that this week that you have let God drive, so to speak. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm riding with somebody else, I start looking for that brake pedal down in the passenger seat floorboard. Or, you know, if I don't do that, I'm starting to look for something to hold on to in case they're not stopping as quickly as I'd stop, or if, not knowing where they're going to turn or whatever it might be. We tend to like to be in control, but God wants us to allow him to lead us. And when he does, it is going to benefit us. Now, Romans chapter 15, this is going to kind of tie back into what we were talking about in the month of March. And so let's read in verse number 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in the second verse, it says, let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Now, here is what I want to share with you today, is that God is not going to ask us to do or to operate differently than he does. God, when God leads, he is going to lead to build you up. When the enemy leads, he leads to tear you down. Jesus comes that we might have life. The thief comes that he might steal and kill and destroy. So it is the not only is there benefit, not only are there valid reasons, because we talked about in one of last week's broadcast, he leads us because we are his children. There are certain people that that I've encountered through the years, and I couldn't deal with them the same way that I would deal with my kids, because I didn't have the jurisdiction. They weren't my children. And so as a pastor, whenever I needed to speak correction into a young person's life, I always went to the parent before I went to the child. And I always talked to them and said, look, this is a situation that I need to address, but I wanted to let you know first. And if they said yes, which was most of the time, then I went ahead and talked to the child. If they told me no, then I said, oh, okay, well, you know, I just want you to know that this is what's going on in the situation, and somebody needs to address it with them, or they're going to end up in trouble. I hate to see young lives lost because of lack of leadership. John Maxwell has a saying, and he says, everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And so if you're, guys, I encourage you, if you want your home to be edified, then lead for edification. Lead for edification. Don't lead for convenience. What is talked about here is that we're not to go about to please ourselves. We're supposed to operate from an aspect of pleasing our neighbor for his good. And it says even Christ did not please himself. Too many times in our society right now, people are only operating by whatever is convenient or whatever is pleasing to them. You know, if my palate, if the food I put into my mouth was only for what was going to please my mouth, then I would probably have strawberry shortcake, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, I'd occasionally throw in some Mexican food there because I do like Mexican food. I could eat Mexican food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner as well. But we're not called just to eat. And I know people that when it comes to food, they say, well, I'm not going to eat that because I don't like it. The only thing I like is this and this and this. And they never eat any vegetables. And it's like, wow, that's not going to lead to edification. You know, you and I, God calls us to participate in those things which are beneficial to us, but we do it in moderation. And, you know, even though manna tasted good to the children of Israel that first day because they were so hungry, it wasn't long until they were loathing the provision that God had made for them. You and I, we cannot operate by just what is convenient. Too many people make their choices in life on their convenience and their pleasure and their preferences. And I'm not talking about outside the church. I'm talking about inside the church. What do we do? What do we do? We say we're just going to, well, I didn't feel like it. Seriously, with Christ as our example, and we're still operating by what we feel like, when our feelings change like the wind, our spiritual feelings can change just the same way as our emotional feelings do, where one day we feel as healthy as a horse and the next day we feel so sick we're not sure we're going to live. And there are times when you know your level of convenience is going to rise and fall. God didn't call you into relationships of convenience. He's called us into relationships of covenant. I look at this radio broadcast as a very serious thing. Let me tell you something. it's a lot of work. It's not a ministry out of convenience. It is a ministry because I believe that God opened the door and I want to make Jesus known. And so here, Paul writes to the Romans and he says, when you are dealing with other people, lead them to edification. Lead them in a manner that is going to build them up. And like I said, God's not going to ask us to operate under a different standard. Everything that God leads you to do is going to result in your edification. When we get into trouble is when we think we are done growing. I was reading in my devotions a couple of weeks ago where it says that God brings us from strength to strength. Another place talks about from faith to faith. Another place talks about from glory to glory. And so I want to spur a desire in you today on a Tuesday. And that is to have this goal. I want to grow in Christ. I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. I want to grow in influence. I want to grow in effectiveness. I want to grow. I was reading this about Daniel, where he was educated in all of the areas of wisdom that went on in the courts of Babylon. He just wasn't a biblical scholar. He was experienced and educated and understood all of the different implications of wisdom that were going on. So we're not here to cut ourselves off from society. We are here to operate with wisdom and to build, you know, to build each other up. I'm so thankful that God is still got a heart for America. He wants to edify us. Men, he wants us to grow beyond the stereotype that the world has of men, that they're just a bunch of frat boys that, they might have a good job, they might have good connections, but outside of that, all of their purposes is just sexual gratification and drinking as much beer as they can possibly drink and having all the toys that they want to have and go to all the sporting events that they want to go to. Listen, God has called you and I to be men of valor. Let's allow him to build us up to be men of valor. And ladies, you are meant to be women of virtue and women of valor. God wants to build you up. Unlike certain regions of the world that are looking to suppress women and keep them at a lower level and keep them less than what God created them to be, I believe that the kingdom of God wants to empower women to reach other women, to reach other communities. Listen, if he didn't have a prophet in the land, he called a prophetess. There he raised up a deacon and then his seven daughters, Philip, in the book of Acts, his seven daughters prophesied. There's a lady here in Romans chapter 16 by the name of Phoebe, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. That's the same word for deacon, only it's a deaconess here. It's a servant mindset. God has you as a person of influence. We cannot be content with just staying at the same level that we're at. I've got to continue to grow. I need to have people that help me to grow, help me. They lead me to build me up. And God wants to do that. He will lead you. If you are still at the same spiritual threshold, if you're still battling the same problems that you did 5 years ago or 10 years ago, God, you need to say, God, would you lead me to edification? Would you lead me to edification? Somebody has said, for every new level, there's a new devil. And if you're still battling the same problems, that means that your faith has not grown anymore. Listen, God wants to give you faith for victory over the lion, over the bear, and then he will give you victory over Goliath. Then he will give you victory over all your enemies. He will give you victory, but it only comes as we allow him to lead us to edification. And if I can share this with you, if we do not have a regular, balanced diet of the Word of God and prayer, we are not going to be edified. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I encourage you to have a balance in your life, and that is this: partake of the Word and pray. Don't do one to the exclusion of the other. Do both. Do both. And then when you have allowed God to lead you and he's brought you to one place, take the truths that he has shared with you and pass those on to other people. God does not mean for you to be the end destination of the truths of his word. He means to cause you to be edified, to be a conduit that is going to impart the truth that he gives you, and you're going to be able to pass it along to somebody else. It's funny listening to my kids, and there's a particular story that my son tells, when he was growing up, there were certain expressions that I would say, and he's like, "What? That doesn't even make any sense." And as he grew, as he matured, all of a sudden he came to understand some of those things. And so he was in a meeting, and somebody asked a question, and all of a sudden his hand went up, and they called on him, and he said, "And the next thing I knew, out of my mouth were coming the things that my dad had taught me." And, similar things have been said by my daughters as well. And, you know, we just kind of laugh and chuckle. And, you know, one of the things is I this is on a flippant side, a lighthearted side, but I love to sing. I do. My kids tell me that they don't like my singing that much. A young lady that grew up in the church, she posted on Facebook a picture or a video of somebody singing, and it says, "Oh, that reminds me of the velvety vibrato of Pastor Bob from days of my youth." And but I don't really care. I'm not going on American Idol or X Factor or any of that other America's Got Talent, any of that sort of stuff. And you know what? I like to make up words to my song. And so if somebody says something, I'll just start singing a song and making rhymes. And now my kids do that. and they're like, "Oh no, what has Dad done to us?" But you know what? That joy of the Lord that God gives to us, it's supposed to be passed on. If we are not making disciples, and a disciple means a follower, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so Paul was being built up in his relationship with Jesus, and he was telling people, "You just stay right on my heels because I'm staying right on Jesus' heels." So, you know, Paul, that was his mindset. He said, "I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to continue to build you up and to edify you, but I need to be built up myself." So we need to make disciples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we share this whenever we're having communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm turning over there, and verse number 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Paul was saying, my responsibility is not to be the end of the journey. I'm just supposed to be a conduit. In fact, one of the things that he said was he had fought the good fight, he had finished the course, and henceforth there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness that he didn't know whether it was going to be living or dying. He didn't know which one of the two were the door was going to open for him at that particular time. But he said this, but I know that it is expedient for you that I stay down here, that I'd be able to impart spiritual wisdom to you. And so I'm persuaded that I'm going to live because it's expedient for you. It's going to be able to build you up. Now, several years ago, it's been about 4 years ago, my grandmother, she took ill, and they told us, hey, if you want to see her, you'd better come. She's in intensive care. She's not going to live. And so I arranged to fly out there. And when I got there, I her youngest son, my uncle, flew in and about half an hour after I got there. And so we rode to the hospital together. And when we got there, she saw him walk in, saw me walk in. All of the rest of the family was there. And remember, they said, she's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. She's not going to come out of this. And when she saw everybody there, she said this, you know, I have just such a wonderful family. I don't think I'm going to die yet. I think I'm going to live. And she had a drastic turnaround, an amazing improvement. She's now lived 4 years since that episode, and is still going strong. She's over 100 years old. Her mind is still sharp. She can still hear and still see. And she said, you know, I've got such a wonderful family. There's some things that I can do. And I want you to know, she's been a blessing to the family. She's not a drain on the family. There may be people who think, you know, oh, why don't, you know, once you get past a certain age, why don't you just go ahead and make everybody's life easier and just go ahead and die? I want you to know that's not the plan of God. God wants you and I, as long as we are here, to be building each other up, edifying one another. As long as you've got breath, you've still got purpose. You say, but I may not be able to do anything with my hands or with my feet anymore, but you may have wisdom that is stored up that you can pass along. Listen, if you're a grandparent, there is some principles of faith that you can be used by God to pass along to your children. Listen, the principles that I used to receive in school that were reinforced, I was telling our congregation here about a month or so ago about songs that they used to teach us how to play on the piano. Now that music teacher would be fired if they tried to get people to play some of those songs or sing some of those songs. It's just such a school is not a friendly place for faith development anymore. But as long as there are grandparents and as long as there are godly parents who can sow wonderful principles of righteousness into people's life, fulfill your purpose. Build up your kids. Build up your grandkids. When they're around you, I don't want family situations to be pitting this one relationship over another relationship. That's not what it is. That's about pleasing ourselves and making ourselves look good. Instead, I've prayed this for my kids. I pray this for my future grandkids whenever they come along. And that is this: God, use them. Take the what you have built up in me. And God, I don't want me to be their ceiling. I want me to be their floor or their launching pad to even greater effectiveness in the kingdom of God. That's what can happen. There can be such a tremendous amount of insecurity. A lot of times in the secular workforce, there is insecurity. Well, if this person does this job, their job real well, then, you know, they might take my job away from me and they might give it to them. And so I don't want to invest in them. And I want to encourage you, in the kingdom of God, it's the exact opposite. I had people who believed in me. There's a pastor who allowed me preaching opportunities to become a better communicator. There were people who called and said, you know what? We recognize giftings of God in you. And they helped me become a better pastor. There are people who told me that I was worthless, that I'd never amount to anything in the ministry. But there was another person who believed in the God who called me. and said, don't believe that person. Don't believe that person. Believe in the call that God has upon your life and believe in the God who called you. And so, you know, I've got people who've invested in me. And so I'm all the time looking for people that I can invest in. You know what's taking place on our Sunday night services is we've been taking those in, and it's not so much just another service, but in 2015 we've taken that service, and now it is about making sure that we are building up our team the best that they can. I'm trying to build up people to be better servants, not just as far as giftings, but also as far as character. Building each other up so that we are better served. You know, one of my favorite people in the Bible is a little girl who has no name. Never mentioned. She had been carried off captive because somebody had invaded the land of Israel. And she ended up serving for a man who is a very powerful man, but he had a horrible problem. He had leprosy. His name was Naaman. And this little girl, you know, instead of allowing bitterness to take root in her heart to where she said, you know, I just can't wait for you to die, and then maybe I can get back to my people. That wasn't her attitude at all. She told her servant, she said, oh, that you were in Israel and you were serving the God of Israel, because God could heal you of your leprosy. And that birthed something in Naaman to the point where he went to his king. And his king sent a message to the king of Israel, who freaked out and says, why is this guy trying to pick a fight with me? And the prophet sent a message and said, hey, don't you worry about it. You just send him to me. Whenever he comes to you, you send him to me, and God will take care of it. And you know what happened? That man did get healed of his leprosy. He got healed of a leprosy because a little servant girl that's never mentioned by name, never gets any fame, but she said, you know what? My master can be built up. He can be healed by the power of God. So I just encourage you today, no matter what you're going through, don't let bitterness take root in your heart. Let God lead you to build others up. Father, I just thank you today for everybody who's listening, and I pray, God, that you would build them up. I pray that they would be the best employees that their company has. I pray, God, that you would help them to be the best husband, the best wife, the best parent, the best child. God, help them to be the best equipped servant that their pastor has at church. Build them up and make the presence of Jesus known. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.